The Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good day, people. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. And you're on Revolution Radio if you're listening to some alternate source. My name's LB Bork, host of Dare to Think Out Loud. Today we're going to be talking about the witnessing of the dismantling of America. And there's going to be quite a few topics that we cover, and a lot of you might not feel good about it. But as I've said for years and had written in my few articles that I put out in the last few years, that we're dealing with the Synagogue of Satan, as I like to call it. If you're a biblical person, you'll know what I'm talking about. Don't want to go after these people by their names, because it's kind of one of those taglines that kind of put up red flags. But that's what we're dealing with, red flags, communism. Basically, the takeover of the world for an elite few. And they declared economic war on the world about 150 years ago now, and it was something that was progressive, and they're doing it slowly. What you're going to see in the future is just a few elite carrying through with their capitalist ventures, and eventually owning everything. They want to own all natural resources in the world so they can profit off them. And the one case or one cause of the Communist Manifesto, or, you know, one of the things behind it was to enslave all people of the world into being human resources for these corporations, and, you know, making them work for them as a profit-making entities. That's what I worked out, and that's what I discovered in my research. And, of course, you're going to hear a lot of different opinions on what's going on, but I've been studying this 25 years, and like I've said to people, you don't get away with this for as long as they have without having operatives and out there that are doing things in secret, and a bunch of distraction that goes along with that. I got with me today Dave Scorpio. He's not here yet. He's with Scorpio's conspiracy show on Saturdays. Also, Mike Gaddy is joining me today, and I want to introduce him first because he is here. Dave will be here any time. He's out taking care of some personal matters. But, yeah, Mike's going to have a show or a program starting this Sunday. Good day, Mike. How are you doing? Why don't you tell the folks about your program starting this Sunday?
Yeah, I'm doing great, LB. I hope you're doing well. The program will be called Addicted to Our Own Destruction with the Rebel Madman, and we will go into how so many things about revisionist history that we have been taught, which are in fact false, but which the Americans cling to like life itself. And because of that, we have addicted ourselves to the destruction that we are seeing rampant in America today. It will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Great. I'm going to tune in myself. You said revisionist history. I think I call it the official story, and they call us the people that are trying to revise history. But that's kind of backwards, don't you think?
Well, if you're revising anything, that means you're changing it from what it was. And so I consider them to be the revisionist historians, because the facts are there, and to deviate from the facts is revision. And this started about 100 years ago, well, actually more than 100 years ago, with those three nonprofit organizations that were determined to pervert American history to fit a socialist paradigm.
Right. As you and myself both know, that's basically the foundation for communism, right? Did Marx and a bunch of communists say that? You need socialism to build communism?
Well, and it also, Marx said that democracy is the first to communism.
Right.
So, and watch all the people today who embrace democracy.
Yeah, I call that a code word for communism based on what you just mentioned. I don't think that's far-fetched. What do you think democracy is to these people? I think it's everyone voting and kind of just a confused mass of people voting in, cult of personality type people, right?
Well, LB, as you and I both know, they have been able to pervert this system, and they have brought it into this two-party paradigm to where Americans no longer think liberty, freedom, individual rights. They think Democrat and Republican, or liberal and conservative. Their minds have been perverted. And I look at Facebook and other social media, and I made the statement a couple of days ago. If people are as concerned about liberty and individual rights as they are about politics and elections, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Right. Socialism, I've determined, is basically anything the people in whole or individually can handle. Is handled by government. For example, one of my favorite things locally here is, you know, everyone talks about the roads and, how people need roads and because they love their motor vehicles, which is an American thing. A lot of these socialist-type countries have transportation, which America did at one time in the railroads. But the railroads are actually the industry that turned us into what we are today of the communist system. People don't understand that Austria basically promotes communism. Their flag has got the hammer and sickle on it in the talons of the eagle that's on their flag. And so basically industry and agriculture are the two signs of communism. The story I was going to tell you is I lived in Dubuque, Iowa from when I was a child up until about eighth grade, which was, 11 years old, 12 years old, somewhere in there. They had a bridge that spanned the Mississippi. And, of course, it went to a state highway in Wisconsin. But out of Dubuque, it was a municipal street, that connected to this bridge. But the bridge itself was privately owned. The state didn't have anything to do with it. You paid a toll to go over it every time. If you didn't use it, you didn't pay for it. And today, the public pays for the roads in totality, either through federal funds or state funds. So that's one of my favorite examples of socialism. Of course, most cities are going to have to be socialist-based because you have a lot of, things that are given in benefit in the cities, like the streets and the water, sewer, etc. Those things are kind of socialist. But when you get out into the country, away from cities, you should be able to own your land freely without having it taxed. What examples might you give in the realm of socialism?
Well, the thing, I've tried to define this as simply as possible for the people I refer to as Bubus Americanus. And if, you know, we keep hearing, and even, you know, Trump said we'd never be a socialist country. And but socialism, one of my definitions for socialism is when a government can force an individual to do that which they believe is morally right. And if a government that can coerce you to do things that you know are morally wrong, and that you feel, you know, by whatever your faith or what have you, that is morally wrong, if the government can force you to do that, it's a socialist government. And, you know, it goes back, and I was talking with Dave about it earlier. It goes back, you know, Madison wrote a letter to George Washington. And he said, we must have a government where we can use the power of coercion. And ironically, Thomas Jefferson defined liberty as the absence of coercion. Mm-hmm. So Madison was saying, well, you know, we've got to have a government that can force people to do stuff. And, you know, if you're going to force someone to do anything, LB, it has to be something that they wouldn't do otherwise. That's the very meaning of force. Or
yeah, coercion. So or when totalitarianism, I think, would be a good example. And that's how they defined communism in the world today. I think they look at communist governments as totalitarian. And, you know, with the military leaders, you know, the president of the country wears a military outfit. Our communists wear business suits. I don't judge it on totalitarianism, but as far as I'm concerned, they have forced us to do things against our will, and it's kind of stealthy and hidden. But all the planks of the Communist Manifesto are applied to America. So that doesn't, just because they don't call it communist, it doesn't mean it's not. I use the litmus test of the planks, and like I said, they try to, you know, pawn these countries off that of being totalitarian or forceful, that, you know, use the military as the reason for being communist. But I think that's just a rouge and, you know, just a facade that is false. And, you know, what they've done in America is very deceitful. They use a lot of deception and hidden facts to hide it here. Anyway, sorry to go off on that, but that's a difference that I've seen in communism. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, it's LB, to me, it's real easy to see, and again, not to be redundant, but if I can use the power of government to force you to do that which you do not want to do, or that which you think is morally wrong, then that is not an effective representative government. It's not representing everyone, and ironically, the Articles of Confederation were designed to provide what Jefferson referred to in the Declaration of Independence as consent of the governed. You know, if you have five people and three of them consent to something and two of them don't, why should those three people have the ability to force their beliefs on the other two? There's no way that you can equate that with freedom. It doesn't exist.
Right. They started tearing Jefferson down back in the 90s, didn't they? They started saying he was an adulterer and things of this nature. I remember back in the 90s. And he's not the best founding father, but he's probably one of the most popular. And they've really tried to trash him. And he was an agrarian compared to an industrialist. And of course, that kind of showed up in the things you just said. I've noticed that industry, because I own my own business, you need a lot of capital to establish industry. And most people don't have that, and you need the bankers to fulfill that. So ultimately, that's the foundation for, you know, capitalism, or industry, rather, is capitalism. And that's what basically happened. Weren't the Taxes in the South paid for the most part for the Revolutionary War, and the North was still in debt because they tended to want to be more industrial.
Well, I think both colonies, you know, I've seen recently where a lot of people give credit for the American Revolution to Samuel Adams, and Samuel Adams certainly played a huge part, especially in Massachusetts and New England. But actually, the fires of dissent, if you will, were fired in 1710 in the House of Lords.
Mike, you drifted off there. I don't know if it's the bandwidth that's messing with us. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're drifting off. If you could tell us in the chat room, if you could hear us, I'd appreciate it. Or is it something on my end? Hello? Mike, I think we lost you. Mike, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you drifted off. I don't know if we're being messed with or your bandwidth has been reduced. Can you maybe repeat what you just went over, please? I can't hear you again. This is terrible. Mike, if you can hear me, why don't you call back in? Do you know how to do that, or should I hook you up? Yeah, we're getting bad connection here from you. I don't know. In the past, I've been messed with on Skype, and as things are getting worse out there, it's like that thing I refer to as the cornered dog. Things are going to get tougher by these people. They let us speak our minds to a point, but they really don't want too much of the truth out. And, you know, we deal with bad or insufficient bandwidth at times, but I've seen them shut Skype down intentionally before, and I don't know if that's what we're dealing with today or not. Let me see if I can get Mike here back. Maybe I could reconnect him. Shoot. This is when it's good to have technicians. Actually, Mike dropped off the call, I think. Dave should be with us shortly, too. Yeah, John couldn't join us today. He's busy with family matters. A lot of people have this and that going on. He totally dropped off the call. Anyway, hi, guys in the chat room. I see Festus is with us. Thanks for that report. Sorry about the problems. Anyway, yeah. Also, Troy Boy joined us. Factor Theory is in the chat room. I don't know if he's there. Captain Fred. Hey, Captain, how you doing? Lady Horse seems to be there. Blasphemous Buddha, Comet, Batsman, Reg, SJ, Cat Dog Girl. Hi, girl, how you doing? Haven't been in the chat room lately, sorry. That much. Jer Bear, are you awake? Thought it's too early in the morning for you. Or too late in the morning.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Are you back?
Well, I'm not sure. We'll give it a shot.
Yep. I was telling the folks, sometimes they mess with Skype, but I think this time it's bandwidth. You having storms over there?
No, everything is clear and hot today.
Yep. Not too humid, I hope. That's the miserable part of hot and heat.
Well, there's plenty of humidity, too.
Yep, you're in Georgia now, right, somewhere?
That's correct.
No. Anyway, what were you going over? Do you want to repeat maybe the last part of that? We lost the last couple minutes. Uh-oh. You're still hooked up, but I can't hear you. This might be a bad day. Says he left here. I don't know if he left or was dropped. Anyway. Oh, what to talk about. Anyway, yeah, it's always saying about totalitarianism. I can see the civil law as being totalitarian. It's making people do things that they wouldn't regularly do. They pretty much doused the custom and usage law that existed in the United States. And I saw that happen after the revolution, not the Revolutionary War, but the so-called Civil War. And yeah, it's been getting worse. Every year, they force things on us that people wouldn't normally do. And as Mike and I have talked over the last few months, they are doing a lot of things that normally wouldn't happen in regards to law. Sorry, I'm trying to find Mike here on the phone, see if we can get him on the phone instead, which is a real pain to deal with. Because we don't have a regular switchboard, not on my program anyway.
Hello?
Yeah, I want to try it this way.
Yeah, we can do that.
Anyway, yeah, it's a shame that they could put men on the moon, supposedly, but they can't give us good internet service, right?
Yeah, that's incredible.
I don't know. But as we were talking about earlier, I think they're trying to destroy America. I've heard in the past few years that they want to make this into a third world country. What's your opinion on that, Lawrence, around that subject?
Well, B, I think anyone who can't see that they're doing it, not just trying to do it, anyone who can't see that they're doing it, look at every news broadcast, every news snippet is designed to create racial discord in this country. And that's exactly what they're after. They want, because the thing that the government fears more than anything else is all of the factions within that government recognizing that their worst enemy is the government and not each other. And Aristotle spoke to that many years ago. And that is exactly what government does. It creates discord, disunity. They are constantly working towards that. And, you know, when you live in a world where they can stop traffic to write Black Lives Matter on the highway, but if someone comes along and covers over it, they are, you know, they are doing something wrong, but the people who painted it first were not. This is beyond ludicrous, LB. If you can't see this, I mean, you know, this would be visible to Ray Charles. What they're trying to do, and it's obvious. There's no effort. You know, you can't call it them just trying it. Hell, they're doing it.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. But both of us have known they were going to do this years ago. And what do you think the purpose is? You know, I've looked over the years and have said that Americans were used to industrialize the rest of the world. You know, they used our labors through the taxation, through the Marxist or communist taxation of income tax to help these other countries get industrialized. And it lends to what I said, you know, at the top of the hour about them wanting to, what they want to do is civilize the whole world so people are economic commodities for these corporations. And that's part and parcel of it. We're seeing that they want to do this unionize Africa now. And I see that, you know, that's going forward. And it's just, you know, kind of a model of the United States is the way I see it. And, of course, they tried it with the European Union to try to get this centralized government or world government in place. So what would the reasoning be for, aside what maybe I just mentioned, they had to have unified workforce over the past 150 years in America under this communist system. What's the reason, do you think, for them dismantling it now? Maybe a reboot?
For over 100 years, LB, the educational system in this country has bred entrepreneurship and individuality out of people. All of the people who have attended the public school system have been trained to be good little worker bees, to go about, to get this done, to do that, to do this, to do that. There's no intelligence really required. So you can keep that intelligence level. You know, you don't worry about an intelligence level because people start thinking, they start wanting to do something. You make everything based on emotion. And they're doing this to have a giant workforce to do what they want them to do. And in that giant workforce, once you become non-productive, in other words, aged or what have you, or infirmed in any way, they just want to get rid of you. And so that is going to be the efforts under population control. And somewhere in this mandatory vaccine will be something that will not only track everybody to know where everybody is to keep up with them, as you would want to do with your workforce, but it will also be something within that that will cause, you know, the people of age and infirmities to gradually just fade on out and be gone. Because under the socialist system, if you aren't producing something every day, you are a useless eater. And you're consuming rather than producing, and in a socialist society, that's not allowed.
Right. With that, we got a break coming up. This is Dare to Think Out Loud, talking with Mike Gaddy. Dave's going to be with us in a few. Got a station break, as I said. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right, Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is the second segment of today's Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork. Glad you joined us. This is Revolutionary Radio at Revolution Radio. Today we're talking about, the planned destruction of the United States. It's kind of a reboot for the New World Order. They're taking it down so they can control it better to their liking. And, we got Dave with us this hour, or this second segment, and he just joined us. Mike's back. Hopefully he'll stay online through the Skype connection this time. I don't know. It's been kind of sketchy today, unfortunately. We'll see about that. But anyway, hi, Dave.
Hello, LB. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us. Hope everything's okay in your neck of the woods, as they say, or jungle,
yeah,
whatever
you're doing okay.
It's a jungle out there, I'll tell you, these days. Literally, yep. I can't stand it. Mike, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's hope you...
Hello, Mike. How you doing, man?
Stay connected this time.
Hey, Dave.
Dave, you want to tell the folks about your program on Saturdays? Kind of mentioned it last segment, but...
Yes. My show comes on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. And this week I am interviewing Dr. Raphael Johnson along with Giuseppe.
Oh, Giuseppe, yes. He's got a new program too.
Yes, Giuseppe's program actually starts tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. And he is going to be interviewing Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I'll be along for the ride and to ask her a few questions as well.
Wow. You get around these days, don't you? You're getting too popular.
No, I'm just trying to help get things going and do what I can to get information out there.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah, my program, The Ultimate Remedy, is on Tuesdays on Revolution Radio, and that appears at 6 to 8 on Tuesday in Studio A. And we talk about all kinds of neat stuff. I've been studying law for 25 years. I think that is our only saving grace here, and I wanted to get into what we waited for you, Dave, till you got here today, and to mention the Supreme Court supposedly giving half of Oklahoma back to the Indians. In one case today, or this week, rather. I think it happened yesterday.
Yes, I heard about that. I'm sure glad Trump appointed all those conservative judges to the Supreme Court. It's making a big difference.
Yeah, well, if they're ruling on some obscure fact of law or fact that happened, I guess they can find whatever they want, to do what they want.
I see this all as part of the process of dismantling America as we knew it.
Right. I agree. We talked a little bit about that the last part of the last half hour about, the synagogue of Satan's behind all this. And I hate to say this, but people are a little confused of what's going on. And it's basically written in the Bible what happens. And as William Cooper said one time, either the Bible is the word of God, or these guys have written, a play. Well, I said it backwards. He said either these guys wrote the book and they're playing it out as a play, or God, it's really the word of God, and it's pretty much planned out what God intended. And I'm not here to argue that today, but it seems like that things are going to according to the Bible. And as a lot of people understand, that the age of Aquarius is upon us. And the age of Aquarius is supposed to be the age of reasoning and peace and harmony. But I don't see anything happening but these corporations taking over and enslaving everyone. and that's what's going on. What's your opinion on that? Mike, we expressed our opinions last hour or half hour. Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting because we're in a situation now where the power of corporations is starting to become greater than that of the government. And yes. So it's difficult to say if this is communism or fascism, or I believe it to be some kind of a hybridized system that will include technocracy as well. But yes, the power of the corporations is greater than that of the presidency, I believe.
Yes. Well, that's what Mussolini said. He said fascism is the merging of government and corporate powers. But you're saying that you're seeing more corporate powers take over now. But the thing
well, I
is...
think it's so, we have a hybridized system, yet we have cultural Marxism, and they're using communism as a wrecking ball. But when you come down to it, it's the corporations that are setting the agenda. They're paying for Black Lives Matters and supporting the looting and the insanity that we're living through right now.
Right. Mike, you want to add anything to the insanity? I know we talked a little bit about it last segment. Go ahead if you're there.
Well, you know, it's... definitely, we would consider it to be insane. And as we said before, if people can't recognize what's happening here, and, you know, I stop and look at a couple of things. On both the couple who defended their house, that's mom.
Looks like we're going to have to go back to the phone.
Block.
Mike, if you can hear me, we're going to have to go back to the phone. Go ahead, Dave. Want to kind of continue on what your thought was there?
Oh, yeah, that's frustrating. As soon as Mike starts to get to some good meat and potatoes that cuts off, hopefully he can get back on his phone and we'll have a better connection. I'm not sure where he was going to go with the couple defending their home, but... it's really quite incredible that we're at a point where we can have a mob that of peaceful protesters that breaks down a gate to private property, a private neighborhood, peacefully. And, you know, these people are looking at possible charges from this district attorney that I don't see what the charge could possibly be. And I guess, you know, I was watching on Tucker Carlson. There was some couple that dared to paint over the Black Lives Matter graffiti that was on the street with some black paint, and they're being charged with a hate crime potentially, which I don't see how that's hate or a crime.
Yes. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Tim Pool. I was listening to something they had to say about I forget who it was, but they were talking about the difference between hate crimes and, you know, just criminal activity in general. And, these hate crimes, they set this up. And the Synagogue of Satan did this. There's no doubt in my mind that they set this up. And it's disgusting what they're getting away with. And it's all because people aren't paying attention to the government. And, you know, basically they are running the law system, and it needs to be taken care of one way or the other, because all these chaotic things that are happening right now are based on not just the corporations, but it's an objective plan by the Synagogue of Satan, and they're behind the whole thing. As you know, Dave, studying the conspiracy under this, the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center are behind a lot of these things. For example, the Southern Poverty Law Center had gone out to train not only police departments but also judges to hinder these so-called sovereign citizens, which I believe they set up as kind of a bait thing in the movement to get people to you know, do things that aren't really in line with law. So they would make them make these people fail. And of course, they've had operatives out there teaching poorly and the bad information. So they would follow it, of course, on YouTube and whatever, and through certain groups. And, you know, so they set them up and then told, you know, like judges or the police, if they ran into any constitutionalist or, you know, people talking about being sovereign, that they were supposed to just hammer them. So anyway,
yeah.
Can you add to that?
The Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center are essentially criminal enterprises. As I understand it, the Southern Poverty Law Center has more than $500 million just sort of on reserve to be used as they see fit to manipulate the populace and our perception of reality.
Yes, right. I'm trying to get Mike back on the phone here. Seems like his phone's not working now either. So,
come on, Mike.
Who knows what's going on? Anyway.
Well, and, you know, it was interesting. I saw a whole thing on how there's all this hate speech going on in Facebook, and it's really quite dangerous. And we have to do something about it. And, of course, the ADL already has a plan, you know, to stifle people's thinking. And I'm not sure who is going to be the group that decides precisely what is a hate crime. Or hate speech, are we going to have a council of elders or a secret court that decides that? How is that going to work exactly? Or maybe the Sanhedrin will decide for us.
Yes. Yeah, what would they have to, the Star Chamber back in England. I believe it was in England, and kangaroo courts, and just talked, well, we've had kangaroo courts under the system for a while. They have their systems or their policies. They really don't follow the law. And I was telling some of our people in People's Awareness Coalition this last week, I hadn't brought it up, but there's this oath call, Kol Nidre, that the judges take, and a lot of these Masonic judges take it. And it's basically an oath that voids all other oaths they take. So if they take an oath to the Constitution, they have the ability just to ignore it and do what they please. And we see a lot of that in the courts lately as far as how they handle these sovereign citizens and such.
Well, isn't the Kol Nidre an actual religious ritual in Judaism?
Correct. You're right. And that's
why
I'm saying.
Essentially,
that
it says that any lie or sin they may commit is forgiven in advance as long as they do this ritual, you know, swing a chicken over their head or something like that. I'm not sure what it is, but some kind of ritual attached to it.
Yeah, I don't know about that particular ritual. I know the Jewish swinging the chicken over the head, which is ridiculous. That religion, I don't know. It goes back to the paganism. It was or satanic end of it. It's been brought forward by the rabbis and the Talmudists through that religion. So, yeah, that's basically what's controlling America right now, and people don't understand it, and it has for a long time. As a lot of people know, the Masons were introduced to the United States early on, but I think, wasn't it you that brought up that Washington's basically a big Masonic playground, how it's laid out?
Well, yeah, the layout of Washington, D.C. is completely Masonic. Every street, every angle was devised by a high-level Freemason, and the whole thing is very, very symbolic and esoteric, absolutely.
Yes, it's really just, I don't know. People of America have been deceived for a long time. And
I was speaking with Dr. Raphael Johnson earlier today, and one thing he told me that I did not know is that in Russia, in the Russian media, the question of Jewish power and influence is openly discussed. It's part of the political discussion. And I didn't know that, and that's probably one reason why Russia is so completely demonized right now.
Wow. So they're having their own problems?
No, it's, the point was is just that it's acceptable to discuss the implications and the reach of Jewish power without being called a hater or whatever name they want to say, you know, hate crime, hate speech, whatever. It's part of the regular political discussion in Russia, as it should be anywhere. I mean, whenever you have a small group of people that have tremendous power, it should be open season to go ahead and discuss what that means for our society and how they wield that power.
Right. That's how they're controlling everything. I'm firmly convinced that World War II was basically set up to, it did two things. It gave us the United Nations and, sorry about that. And, also, gave the so-called Jews the, false Israel that they live in now. I call it false Israel because there's even a sect of Jews that say, they call it Zionist Israel. It isn't even supposed to exist.
It's an ultra-Orthodox faction of within Judaism that rejects Israel because the proper tenets for it to come into existence have not been met according to their own laws and traditions.
Right. So what is this thing called Israel, you know? That's the question.
Well, yeah, it's quite an interesting thing to ponder, and we have to wonder who is running who. Is America running Israel, or is Israel running America? And the thing I find disturbing about Israel is that the vast majority of people that live in Israel are simply Americans. You hear these people talk, they have an American accent, except for the people that were born there. So it's talk about being a colonizer in modern times.
Yes. And, I didn't want to get deeply into this, but I did reference it before you came on today about the synagogue of Satan being the main problem for the world right now. And everything that's going on, all this chaos, is instituted by the Talmudists of Israel, or the Judaism, as you noted. So if people have to get that in their heads, if they don't understand where this evil is coming from, that they're, you know, we're never going to get over it. And as you know, Dave, Christians in America have been just totally deceived by this whole program.
Yes, and they have. And, whether you're religious or not, you cannot completely separate Western civilization from Christianity. It's just not possible to do so. And that's why we're seeing such a great attack on it, because really, if you have a group of people that don't have any kind of heritage or moral belief system, they're unable to stand up against any kind of tyranny against them. And I think that's also why we're seeing this attack on our history and the statues and all that. They want to just dismantle all of it and put in something completely different in place.
Yes. Well, there's no doubt they're trying to destroy Americans' history. And they're going to get away with it if people don't wake up. I don't know. Are you familiar with that minister of Israel that said that when they talk about anti-Semitic things going on, it's basically a trick they use?
Sure, I believe that was on Amy Goodman's show some years ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's interesting that they're so brazen about what they do. They brag about how they deceive people and trick them. It's unfortunate that, like I said, that this Judeo-Christianity is not even a real thing. And they say it is based on the Old Testament and the New Testament being one, and based on the, teachings of Christ, who he was against the so-called Jews at the time. He called their father the devil, you know. So the whole thing is just evil brought up from that time period, and people don't understand the story in the Bible is it's properly related because of bad teachings by a lot of Christian ministers.
Yes, yes, and it comes down to money. They get a lot of money from Zionist causes. There's some very unflattering things about Jesus in the Talmud, so I don't exactly see how the two, you can inexorably link the two religions.
Right. So, but they've done it. That's the point, I think.
Right, they have done it, yeah.
They've done it, and it's
what's that guy, Hagee? Who's the big shot guy that's Hagee?
Hagee.
He's one of the worst examples. And the guy is just absolutely rich as you could possibly imagine because that he's aligned himself completely with the Zionist cause. And basically, Israel's the most important thing in his version of Christianity.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about before you came on about democracy being just a code word for communism. And it's funny, this Amy Goodman is, of course, a Jew or, member of the Synagogue of Satan. So she's promoting democracy, which is basically promoting world communism.
Well, that's true. And LB, what she's done now is really, she's having trouble hiding her glee and absolute support of this whole COVID crisis, because her and people like her see this as their big chance to move their agenda forward. And she's openly promoting essentially communism now. She's gone beyond anything like that. And, she used to call it the War and Peace Report. Now it's the, I think she calls it the Isolation Report or the COVID disease report now. It's no longer the War and Peace report. So she's going on for complete communism now.
And she sees
this as the culmination of 25 years of work on her part, softening up people's minds.
Yes, I was just thinking about that when you were going over what she's doing now, because, back in, 25 years ago in the movement, anyone that kind of spoke about alternative beliefs or whatever in regards to the government was a patriot, And even when I got into this, I looked at her as someone that maybe had some interesting information. But then I started learning, the terms like we just talked about, communism and democracy being kind of the same terminology, or it's a code word for communism, democracy, that is. I started figuring out and, started studying these surnames of Jews and figuring out that she was just bad news. And it's interesting that she's just out in the open, like you said now. But unfortunately, they've got, their hooks in everyone. And I don't know. Do you think it's too late?
Well, I think this is a very interesting time that we live in. As the Chinese curse goes, may you live in interesting times. On some levels, things are very dark, but also I see a great opportunity because more and more people are starting to question the official narrative of reality that we're supposed to believe. More and more people want to know what's really going on. And like, for example, they don't want to open the public schools because of the COVID crisis. Okay, well, great. Let's don't open the public schools. They're an unmitigated disaster. I support not opening them because it's too dangerous because of COVID. Let's completely scrap them and defund the public school system,
right,
and go on with a decentralized way of teaching America's children. So there's a lot of opportunities available. So I don't know. I think everything's in play right now, LB. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I'm not giving up. I have been telling people, the first 20 years of People's Awareness Coalition were important. But I think the next 20 years are more important because, as you just noted, it's time to expose the synagogue of Satan and take things back. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of the mainstream people listen to mainstream media, and that's totally still, you know, controlled by the synagogue of Satan. People like Hannity and Fox News, all these people are still controlled by that system, and people are still listening to them. Even Tucker Carlson, he, you know, it, he talks of the, you know, the New World Order indirectly, and people don't see it, you know, unless they're trained like maybe us or other people that see it, of course. John Breeson, who isn't with us today, he sees it, of course. And as we know, Mike, who dropped off, unfortunately, he told me that we should just continue. He's having too many problems with his technology today. So even his phone's not working some odd reason. So anyway, yeah, we've seen it because he was in the belly of the beast, as he likes to say. And, you know, he worked directly in government and military, you know, what's the word? I don't want to say
intelligence.
Intelligence, yes. Thank you. Sometimes yeah. I space those words. But anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was, when I had him on my show.
Got a break.
Oh, well, where's the music? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Watch that clock, dude. Anyway. Yeah, this is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is July 10th. July 10th edition, and we'll be back after the station announcements. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is hour two of Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is July 10th. I want to thank you for joining us. Had some technical difficulty with Mike the last hour. And Dave came in late, but he's here for the rest of the program today. How you doing, Dave? Glad you could make it. Hope everything's going well at home for you.
Yeah, thank you. Trying to get Mike back on the call, so we'll see if we can do that. But in the meantime, let's proceed.
Yeah, I got a quote here, and my work is centered on law, and that's what People's Awareness Coalition is about. This is basically a sponsored spot by the PAC Alliance, which is people that help the coalition and work with us to expose what's going on. I've been doing this over 25 years now, and People's Awareness Coalition is about constitutional education and political awareness, and we'll probably be talking about the systems of the synagogue of Satan this hour quite a bit. And it's something that is in the background of what I teach, but as anyone knows, you have to have the foundation of whatever you're dealing with understood and known. And basically, that is the problem. The Bible spells it out. And like I said last hour, it's either the Word of God or it's a playbook they're running by. And I'm not going to debate that for anyone. That was said by William Cooper, and he's gone as about 19 years ago. They took him out for exposing the truth, I believe. But Dave knows about those.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Maybe, and you know, it's amazing that Bill Cooper actually predicted that Osama bin Laden would be involved in a major terrorist attack against America a couple of months before it actually happened.
Right. So he was military intelligence also, and he wrote the book Behold a Pale Horse, which came out in the early 90s, and that's when everyone started to kind of become awake. That's when I became awake in the early 90s, mid-90s. I had Jack McLam as one of my mentors or teachers early on. He wrote Operation Vampire Killer 2000. Of course, that was basically teaching the policemen and the military about what was going to happen. And he actually talked about these race wars that were planned, you know, back in the early 90s. And, of course, Charles Manson was talking about it, too, in the late 60s. So this is definitely a plan. What's going on now, and it's all because of the synagogue of Satan. They did this to create chaos right now. We know this Fauci is a hidden hander. Marx was a hidden hander. Napoleon was a hidden hander. A lot of them appeared during the Civil War. These people are evil people. Ted Cruz is a hidden hander. So I don't know. They're all bad people, and they've all been working towards this new world order, and it's under world communism. But back to that thing I wanted to quote here out of it's out of a book called A Program for Jews and Humanity. And it was said by Rabbi Harry Watton that the Jews would inherit the entire earth through the control and spread of communism. And they're kind of cryptic about it, but what it was, the Communist Manifesto, was a blueprint for economic takeover of all countries of the world. And, of course, that was written by Marx. He was a front man for the whole thing. And as we're seeing today, as Dave knows, and anyone that's paying attention knows, that they're talking about cultural Marxism lately. And I've defined that as anything that's chaotic, that destroys the Christian, societies that we once had in America, or all over the world for that matter. So That's what's going on with the virus. All these people are evil. They're involved in this. And it's unfortunate that people don't pay attention closely. As I said last hour, Fox News, all these people, even Tucker Carlson is involved in all this. Wittingly or unwittingly, that's the fact of the matter. Don't you agree, Dave?
Yes, and you're mentioning the virus. It's incredible how they're claiming, as of yesterday, that there were 65,000 new cases of coronavirus confirmed tests, and they went on to say that that the tests are having up to a 20% positive rate. So they're in essence telling us that they've done more than 200,000 tests in one day, which I find, patently false. It's not possible to have done that just on a logistical level. So we're being lied to on a scale that we've never seen before. It's really incredible.
Well, as I determined early on, we saw what they're doing with this. And from what I understand that this virus, it's taking out old people, maybe they're dying, but there's only like a point two chance percent chance of someone dying from this, according to some statistics, which I don't trust anything that I hear out there, to be honest with you. But I personally don't know anyone that's died from it.
I've asked everybody I know, and I talk to people all over the world now. And do you know anyone that's sick? Does anyone that you know anyone that's sick? And I've only gotten one positive response from somebody. Philippines, flew to Australia and got some kind of, supposedly he had COVID, he got sick, but he was fine a week later. So that's the only one that I've ever heard confirmed.
Yeah, it's like if this was just a flu or, they weren't making this big deal out of it, it would come across as like a flu. It's really, they've used it to destroy businesses. And like I said, communism is a direct attack against small businesses so they can control everything. They're trying to put as many people out of business right now and destroy the economy so they can install their new one. I wrote a piece called Ludwig von Mises, Just Evil, is the title of it, and it's available on the internet to read. But there was an interview by the president of Israel a few years back, and he said in that interview, it was from a reporter type over in Israel, but he disclose the information of, there's no more national economies. There's a world economy. And if you don't follow the rules of this economy, your country's going to be poor and irrelevant. So that's them declaring basically that they've, took over the economies of the world. And like I've been saying for years, the Communist Manifesto is nothing but a blueprint to achieve that. And
and if you look at what's actually happening right now, this is an economic event unlike anything we've ever seen before, because essentially the banks are handing out money at under 1% interest to these big corporations and hedge funds. They're able to go up and buy up distressed assets right now for pennies on the dollar. So we're seeing a consolidation of wealth and a sort of a purification of the oligarchy is a term that Dr. Johnson used, the purification of the oligarchy. And I think that's a very well put term there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think like we all think, millionaires, that's a lot of money. A millionaire really isn't that much money anymore. It's the billionaires that control things. And a lot of these people that thought they were rich and important because they had a few million dollars or 10, $20 million, they're getting caught up in this too. And they're getting in big trouble, and it's the billionaire class that's buying everything up right now. And that's something that people really got to see.
Speaking of billionaires, that Kanye West is running against Trump. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. I think this is much ado about nothing because I think he's going to have trouble getting on the ballot. I think the deadlines have passed for quite a few states, so
right.
I don't see what the point of that is. What's your take on it?
You pretty much said it. I don't know. As you know, my work centers on how they have to get people to vote to turn them into slaves, and that's written through Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is the tool that they've used to take over America. I've told people for years that if you want to see how communism has affected your particular country, one I've looked into a little bit is Canada. They were communized in 1871 is when they became, they did the overlay in Canada to install communism here. In America, it was done with the 14th Amendment in 1868. Of course, one thing about communism is they don't have trouble killing people. It says that in the last paragraph of the Communist Manifesto. The Civil War was the event where they killed a bunch of Americans to install the system. Of course, that's not what they teach in history or, any kind of economic classes, of course. But like Mike said, revisionist history has to do with hiding some of the truth of history and, making up their own so-called official story like they always do. And that's where my research comes into play, because most people think communism didn't, appear until, the Bolsheviks and Russia and what was that, 1917, when that took effect?
Yes. That was the revolution, yeah.
Yeah, so
I think by 1919 they had consolidated their power pretty firmly.
Right. But America was the first and original system that was put in place. Actually, Marx and a bunch of the people that were pushing it over in Europe were, charged with sedition, and they were exiled to a point. So a lot of them came over here. In 1848, they were called the 48ers. They came over and infiltrated America, a bunch of Europeans, and a lot of them settled in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is actually the first communist state. It was granted statehood by Congress in 1848, the same year the Communist Manifesto was written. And
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting they came up with a blue flag, though, instead of a red one. Interesting. But Alabama, I think, has a red flag for the most part. But, the Confederate flag's red. I still don't, trust the whole Civil War. I believe it was set up. I know the Dred Scott case that gave the blacks their so-called rights was, just a dog and pony show put on by the Supreme Court to cause the problems to arise with the blacks and give them their rights and all that. So it was planned, just another planned thing that they did to institute, the system in America, which caused all this. They create a problem. It's a Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. You're familiar with that, Dave.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So that's what they did. They caused the problem and, they got a reaction and, settled it with the so-called Civil Rights Acts of the early, part of the Civil War. Before they went into the Reconstruction amendments in the Constitution. And that's what my book's about, the Red Amendment. I call the 14th Amendment the Red Amendment because it installed communism. And there's another clause in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment that says the public debt shall not be questioned. And if you're into and understand bookkeeping, when you have red book entries, that means you're in debt. So they planned on this perpetual debt to keep Americans in, and it shall not be questioned. It also says in the 14th Amendment, Section 4. So this issue
of the debt is more pertinent than ever because, they used to make a big deal like, oh, well, we have a trillion dollar deficit this year, And, in one fell swoop during this COVID crisis, they passed a $6 trillion bailout package. They said it was $2 trillion, but when you add it all up, it's actually $6 trillion. So there's going to come a point where they're not even going to be able to pay the interest on the debt with all the revenue that comes in from the government. And then at that point, I don't know what happens. So what do you think about that?
Well, if you remember the Grace Commission that was put together by Reagan, supposedly they found that all the interest, or not interest, but the interest from the public debt, all income tax that was being collected was paying the interest. There was nothing on the principal. So all income tax over the past.
It's all just being paid interest, but there's going to come a point where we can't even make the interest payments. Then what happens? I don't think anyone really has mapped that out so far. What do you think will happen?
I don't know. Like I said in my book, when I was describing Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, there's also a part in the Section 4 of the 14th Amendment said, you know, there's a lot of things going on in there. People don't understand what's going on, but it says all such debts shall be considered illegal and void. So they've admitted that their fraud is voidable and a fraud to begin with. But I said in my book that as long as Americans are enjoying communism, they'll be in perpetual bondage. So the ignorance of the people is what's going on right now. And that's why this whole thing makes me sick. Because this could have been stopped when I released my book 20 years ago. But of course, the powers that be, the synagogue of Satan, through the corporations that you mentioned, Dave, have all the power because of the money they have and the control over everything. And by the way, if you don't follow what we've been saying on this program and my program, The Ultimate Remedy, that the same things happened in America that happened in Roman Empire. They gave, they took people's law of persons, benefit, civil law, and then incorporated corporations into it. They did the exact same thing with the 14th Amendment. They gave, the 14th Amendment gave corporations extraordinary powers. And, you know, being as the corporations are called an artificial person, they can be regulated totally by law. But they've done the opposite through the legislatures and Congress to give them more power.
Yes, so, and the antitrust laws are already on the books that's supposed to prevent monopolies. We have more monopolies going than ever. You know, Amazon is essentially a monopoly now, and Google is essentially a monopoly, but nothing's being done about it. LB, could you possibly expand on exactly what new powers did the 14th Amendment give corporations?
It allowed a more powerful federal corporation, as far as private companies like Google and such. Of course, it's very, deep on how these systems work. But, the most people have to look at is these government employees or Congress. They're criminals. They could control these things. They used to control them, but they haven't. Ever since they took us off the gold standard in 71, and Richard Nixon was responsible for that. And he is a crook for just doing that. Aside all the other things they accused him of. But, people have – it's like the fox guarding the hen house, right? So it's just sad that people don't know law. That's what the problem is today. And ignorant electorate. And like I said, they set it up to be a crime to vote in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. So that set up the operation of law to give their secret program a way to enslave Americans. So that's why we're seeing all this frenzy on voting right now. What they're doing right now with this election, they're really trying to get as many people to vote as possible so their you know, actual slaves under the 14th Amendment. And, of course, if you don't challenge that, it goes unnoticed. That's why I tell people, law is invisible unless you bring it forward and argue it. And people just don't know what's going on with it, so it operates. Does that make sense to you, Dave? I know you're not deep into law, but that's basically how it operates. And that's the way people look at it, because law works. They just act naturally. And, you know, they've been taught that you see a policeman and he's the law, you know. But it goes a lot deeper than that, of course. And that's a system that the synagogue of Satan has put together, too. They're totally corrupting that and bringing things into existence under so-called civil law that are, you know, basically just enslaving people deeper. And that's what we've been fighting in the People's Awareness Coalition for 20 years now, trying to get people to understand this, because we talk about the synagogue of Satan and the people that are behind that, but what we do is attack their system, you know, expose it and bring people forward into proper law. Just like this Supreme Court thing that happened with Oklahoma this week, you know, okay, Congress made some kind of mistake, and haven't seen what they did in particular, but there's a bunch of rules of international law and things that overpower what the Supreme Court said or whatever procedure they messed up. Because let's face it, folks, countries over, you know, thousands of years have been conquered, and it seems like they're trying to destroy America based on principles that have been going on for thousands of years because of some glitch in some, you know, I'm not saying that the Indians aren't due their you know, some justice in this. I'm just saying that they're destroying it intentionally for some reason, creating chaos. And who knows what they got going on. I think they're trying to do what the Communist Manifesto says, do away with countries or borders. They do away with countries and nationalities. That's one thing I discovered, and it's part of doing that borderless world thing. So these corporations can run herd over everyone without any control. That's what's going on in a nutshell.
Yeah, anyway, and Factor Theory is making a very good point in the chat room. And by the way, Factor Theory, Stephen has a show here on Revolution Radio, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Studio A. But anyway, in the chat room, he's saying that the bailout was written and signed long before the pandemic. So that's interesting that they had this planned. You know, this is all pre-planned. It's all pre-scripted. And it's probably been planned out for at least 10 years because this, you know, this Rockefeller Foundation report called Lockstep pretty much gives the exact playbook for how this kind of a pandemic would be handled almost verbatim.
Well, that's one thing I've said, and I know you've heard me say this, that Fauci came out in 2017 and said Trump is going to be faced with this pandemic. Now, if people were doing things in regard to getting something done, that's all they should be talking about. What's this guy, a Nostradamus, or was it a plan?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, that, you know, the medical...
You see what I'm saying with that, right? You don't talk about anything else. It gets... You know, I made this, like, plan for PAC a long time ago. Forget about what they're doing. Let's do what we need to do. Because their world is all chaos and trying to disturb what's going on in their system so they can reset it and do whatever they need to do. Well, people need to forget about this, you know, all this distraction.
This is a movie that they've scripted out years in advance, just like you said with Fauci. How could he possibly know that and make such a prediction? And, you know... The medical side to this medical tyranny that we're seeing, was first revealed by a guy who made a series of recordings called New Order of the Barbarians back in the late 1980s. And he talks about this Dr. Richard Day that gave a speech pretty much outlining in front of a bunch of pediatric doctors behind closed doors that there's a group of people that have a plan to bring in this New World Order. Everything's in place, and that they were going to use the medical industry to help bring in this new tyranny. And you know what? You know, 30 years later, here it's starting to happen.
Right. And yeah, I feel bad about myself. I haven't been paying close enough attention that I would have known about this virus thing. But as far as I can see, they've been prepping people for years with this virus, even through the 70s. They've had a lot of virus movies that have been, you know, programming people to accept all this for 30 years now or more. You know, you go back and look at some of the movies that have been out. There's one on Amazon that's playing right now.
I guess the first one that comes to my mind is the movie Outbreak from sometime in the 1990s.
Right.
And I think that's probably the first time regular people saw these, you know, these virus outfits where they have the vacuum cleaner hose coming out the back of a helmet and, you know, a tank of oxygen on the back and completely sealed up. And now they show that kind of imagery on TV almost every day to solidify our belief in this movie that we're under this great pandemic.
Exactly.
And that everyone should be afraid.
Got a break, Dave. Be back in a few minutes, folks. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is July 10th. We're in the fourth segment, the last segment of today's program. I want to thank you for listening, and also we need to remind you that this is a listener-supported station, revolution.radio, at that or freedomslips.com, freedomslips.com, and we could use your help and support by finance means, and that means donating. Go to the website and hit the donate button at the top on the upper left-hand corner. Or you can do snail mail at the address at the bottom of the page. It's all pretty much a simple site to get to. Also, we have a chat room if you want to join us. That is also on the page. And that requires an email address, I believe, these days. We tried to let it open with no registration, but geez, just a few people ruin it for everyone. I've had that problem with forums over the years. And the spamming and the trolls, it's just terrible. But that's how these people win. You know, it's been a real terrible thing, especially the last 10 years since they got the social media set up to get any kind of message out there. Because as we've talked about today, as Dave mentioned, these corporations are controlling everything. They have all the money. They have the money and the wherewithal to hire trolls. And the synagogue of Satan surely has all the money to do this. And it's unfortunate that you can't really detect these people easily. But world is chaos.
The chat room at Revolution Radio is probably one of the, if not the best chat room I've ever seen, to be honest. Almost every time I go in there, I end up learning something I didn't know. So I encourage everyone to go in there, check it out. A lot of really well-informed people in there.
Yes. I was just mentioning we had this Russian that came in there a while back, and he ended up having some initials of some, you know, it was an American Political Action Committee, actually. I forget what they were. Alex, A-L-E-X. It's some political action committee in the United States, and he came in and just distracted. That's what I was getting at. I wasn't trying to discourage anyone from the chat room, but I'm just saying how difficult it is to get around the harassment from the people that control things. And as far as I can see, they really don't have a handle on the internet yet. They're doing it through, you know, control means such as Twitter and Facebook and, you know, corporate powers. The internet still is free.
Well, I think part of the problem with the internet is it's kind of like whack-a-mole. As soon as they take down a video, someone's already mirrored it and put it up on a different site or on a different channel. So it's going to be very difficult to keep control over the internet completely. And, you know, we have what, one or two generations of people now that have grown up using the internet. So this is not going to be easy for them to control.
Right, right. But that was my point. It's still free for the most part that I've seen. And these people only control what people allow them to control. And it's through deception, whatever. Anyway, we were talking about how this virus thing was spread. Karen joined us. You know Karen, Dave.
Karen, the former host. Hopefully she'll be back. Karen, hello. How are you?
She's still muted.
She's muted.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm okay. A little delay because, you know, I used to work this stuff every day, and now there's a delayed reaction. But I am okay, and I very much want to come back and host. But, like, recently I was just telling LB that my scheduled procedure for August is very much at risk of being delayed or postponed because it's not considered imminent. You don't need to have, like, life-saving right now. It's considered, yeah, it's a chronic health condition or, you know, in my case, it's a heart valve that's not properly structured. And so over the years, it's just created, it wreaked havoc on my cardiovascular pulmonary system. And so the procedure was, it's just like contingent. It's just, it's scheduled, but, you know, we can't verify it. Originally, when I went to schedule it, I wanted to do it in July, which they weren't scheduling in July because surgeries were not able to be scheduled until they were, quote unquote, believed and purported and trusted to be in the safe zone of being on the other side of the pandemic. And so I was not happy because I very much wanted and set a goal to be done with this crap before the end of the summer, but then entering into fall. And now that I have a scheduled procedure or whatever, now it's, I was very upset yesterday because in, you know, the passing of my eye, I caught a headline that Dr. Fauci is now telling the states that are experiencing high cases to go back to, like, the strictest of restrictions. And Texas is one of those states. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm, like, losing hope and faith. So this is how it's impacting a real person with a real concern, a real need, a real desire to have a higher level of physical functionality based on, like, limited ability to breathe with fluid in my lungs. And I'm just like, I'm doing everything I can to cope as well as I can without losing my crap because this, it's not predictable. And at least when you have a scheduled date for surgery, it's like, well, this is when it's coming. And it gives some kind of sense of, like, hope. But right now, I guess I'm feeling and I'm trying to avoid feeling hopelessness, powerlessness. But that's what the impact is on a real person.
Yes, Karen, that's interesting because you're sort of giving us a view, like, into the microcosm of this macrocosm. And part of the strategy that we're all facing is a deliberate strategy of confusion and trying to, you know, keep people guessing as to what's going to happen. No one seems to know what's happening with the hospitals, how full they really are.
Right.
And that's very interesting, Karen.
Yeah, she also said that, like I said when I brought her on, she said she saw the virus scare things happening in the show Friends, even. The predictive programming, as it's called by some people. How you know, they're programming people to be scared of viruses and things in the what they planned in the future. So, yeah, it's really unfortunate that this is going on, and like Dave just said, this is just another reason where it interrupts the flow of normal, society. And it's a joke. It's not real. I don't believe that this is real to the point where they say it's killing people and this. I really don't. I haven't seen it.
Well, I'm always a big proponent of observe it to know it, because it's reported. Okay, it's in from a scale 1 to 10, it's 5 because I didn't observe it. And I have to put time and research and effort into knowing whether that 5 can go closer to 10, which is I do believe it, or closer to 1, where it's I don't believe it, I dismiss it. So, but that's the process that takes time. And the more I find that the more propaganda, the more the banners, the advertisements, and you can't escape them. Even when I try to just hone in on classical music, on what's familiar and comforting to me, my old Pittsburgh WQED station, there's still like little intermittent commercials, and everything is about, we're with you at this time. We're because of the, and it's at this time is referencing. So it's like you can't escape it. No matter how much, no matter what concerted effort, if you're tuned in to a radio, a television, a chat room, a streaming device, there's just no way. Like just even walking or driving on the roadway, things on billboards and things on, the headlines of the newspaper that are right there, where you're just picking up a loaf of bread and you can't escape or not notice the headline on the newspaper. So it's definitely playing tricks with our mind, challenging us. I don't know. It's kind of sad. Can I say happy birthday to my sister?
She's probably not listening, but go ahead.
She's probably not, but at least I'm saying happy birthday.
Yeah, and Karen, this all pervasiveness of the propaganda is amazing. And one of the memes that they've been using is Alone Together, which is so bizarre and Orwellian, Alone Together. It doesn't,
it's an oxymoron.
Yes, and it's part of this strategy of confusion, I think, too. That's one of the overarching strategies in this whole COVID crisis is confusion. What's really happening? No one really knows. My cousin is a nurse at one of the major hospitals in San Diego. She says the hospital's an absolute ghost town. Nothing's going on because, like you said, Karen, they're not really scheduling regular surgeries.
Yes, and that fills up a lot of the what they call the med-surg units. And from what I noticed when I was in ER after I had like a mini stroke was that there was two lines, one for flu-like symptoms, one for not flu-like symptoms. And the flu-like symptoms was not busy at all. And I did feel like I was being browbeat into taking a test, just to take a test, even though I didn't have any pertinent positive symptoms, just take the test. Okay, dude, I'm having a freaking stroke here right now. Like, the emergency room. I worked in the emergency room. Treat them and street them, right?
Right.
That's the motto, the corporate motto or whatever. And now you're like sitting here getting into an argument with me about, taking a test. And if I don't cooperate with your recommendations, what are you going to do to me? I'd like to see you try, because if you're threatening anything right now because I disagree and do not consent to taking a test that's not warranted.
Well, Karen, so you're at the hospital.
I said, then here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask to speak to your charge nurse. And if she doesn't get it, then I'm going to ask to speak to the on-call nursing supervisor. Because every hospital has a nursing supervisor 24/7. And everyone listening should know that. All right? And if the nursing supervisor doesn't give me a satisfactory response for me to govern my own body, then I'm going to call the operator and I'm going to ask them to contact the on-call administrator from, you know, the C-suites, chief operation, all those C-suites. There's always an on-call administrator. And I said, a la risk management. So you want to try me? You want to go toe-to-toe on this? Can you please just take care of what actually presented? Because from what I remember working emergency medicine for 20 years is that you treat the active symptom. And I have no symptoms of anything that are flu-like.
Okay, so Karen, I just want to get this straight. So when you were at the hospital, there weren't bodies piled up on outside on the sidewalk of COVID victims, and there wasn't a line, you know, stretching 2 miles down the street for people that were sick?
No, not at all. In fact, for the particular emergency room I was at, which has 90 beds, it was particularly unbusy, uneventful. And it was interesting because I got to talking to some of the, you know, the techs or the people that come in and out of your room or whatever. And I kind of got from them just in their kind of like run-of-the-mill jibber-jabber day is that there's a push from their administrators to not talk about the official stance or those things, almost like a liability situation. Almost like we're telling you about this, da da da, is not appropriate to this, that's not. It's like a non-disclosure contract, only with, you don't sign the non-disclosure contract. The terms of the contract are that if you get caught doing this, then it's not going to fare well on your performance review, which for a lot of people that are in the helping profession, they're not earning much, especially compared to how much they've invested into their education. And with not earning that much, I mean, and on average, I learned this from my colleague that was previously my boss that was exploited so badly, she exited, good for her. But when I learned, like, oh, there's a corporate, almost like, what do you call it? Like a measurement or of some sort. Of you're allowed to give X percent of people an excellent review, X amount of people meet standard, and X amount of people subpar. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And typically these corporate reviews for any corporation, not just, you know, a hospital, it requires the employee, myself, to literally go through this like 7 and 9 page document through each domain and rate myself. The boss rates you, the employee, and then you meet and talk about how your scores measure up. And if you, say, rated yourself excellent at communicating and teamwork or something like that, and the supervisor says meets the requirement, in order to, quote-unquote, win that category, you're supposed to provide evidence. Well, that takes time. Like, I'm already, like, rushing between trauma patients, palliative care patients, running up and down literally an emergency room that is the length of a football field. I really don't have time to collect and compile data that proves that I am a valuable worker for a mere 1.5% raise. Like, that's like nothing. I honestly, it would take less effort on my part to take a second job at 15 to 20 hours a week than put all this time and energy. It's just ridiculous. So I was
we have to bring this back to the program here. Sorry.
Just saying that corporocracy, part of the problem that gives
it's packets, a big problem.
It's mojo.
Yeah, what I see here is, like Dave mentioned, that it's interrupting, the society's problems that we have to take care of. That's what I'm hearing in this whole thing. And I think it's more the conspiracy of what these people are doing to us. It matters more than the corporate problem, but it's all tied together. But the conspiracy of this plandemic, as I like to call it, is a real problem. It's probably killing people otherwise that this scheme has not really done to people as they're saying it has. And I'd like to really know how many people have really died from this. And like I said, I don't trust any of the information that we hear on the media. And
Dave,
we all said that we haven't seen this, and it's just ridiculous. And I go back to saying that this whole thing is to destroy small business. That's the main objective of this. Just like the Communist Manifesto was made to destroy the middle class and all small business, to put it in the hands of the elite, and that's being done through corporations. So the problem is people need to know this, and
Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to get across. It's not just the alleged people that are having difficulty breathing, going to facilities, but it's actual employees of healthcare systems. Healthcare system is the number one employer, like in the continuum of healthcare industry. It is the number one employer and biggest, largest employing industry of the country, and nurses, doctors, technicians, pastoral care, social workers, this is affecting employees who are getting money to support their family, that kind of thing. So it's definitely corporate. It's not just affecting the alleged people with symptoms, but it's affecting everybody.
Well, this whole system is corrupt to begin with. People don't need Western medicine as they think they do because, Congress has allowed these corporations to make things that make people sick in the first place. And, they redefine what food is, et cetera, et cetera. So, things have just compiled escalated to the problem where the health industry is just perverted like everything else. We only have a couple minutes left. I'd like to wrap this up. It's bad out there, folks. And unless people learn what's going on and reject it, it's not going to get better. So, I don't know what to say. People are going to have to unify and get things, fixed in regards to, like I said, you have to reject what these people are doing and quit following it. The media is nothing but a three-ring circus at this point. So are our elections. I mean, having a rapper run for president, and of course the president was on his own entertainment show. This has become a big joke. What used to be somewhat serious but corrupt and evil has turned into a joke at this point. And as we know, all this stuff was handled through Talmudwood, is like I like to call it, and it's extended into the internet through people being able to produce their own videos and things, and it's just one big circus at this point. People don't read anymore. It really upsets me because most of my knowledge is expressed in my writings, and people expect to see dancing monkeys on videos anymore, and it's gotten really bad. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Karen. Do you have anything to end with, Dave, in regards to what I just related?
I just wanted to thank Karen for coming on. It's good to hear her voice again here on Revolution Radio, and I hope everything works out and she comes back on the air soon. I know a lot of people feel the same way.
Yep. Karen, any ending thoughts?
Just thank you and hugs and love to everyone. I don't wish anybody harm, even evil people.
A lot of that out there, that's for sure. Anyway, that's it for today's program. This has been Dare to Think Out Loud. Have a good weekend, folks. Don't trust much of what you hear out there. See you next week.
Listening to Revolution.